Good morning. The order of service this morning is the order of morning service beginning on page 5. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and have given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant us, Lord, unto us all . Our worship continues with a reading of the responsive intro that is found printed on your bulletin insert.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple.
For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, Your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, You receive us as Your children, and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge Your merciful goodness, give thanks for all Your benefits, and serve You in willing obedience. Almighty and everlasting God, You despise nothing You have made, and forgive the sins of all who are repenting. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive your full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is found written in the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go round the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is found written in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us live together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the reading of the gradual printed on the insert in the bulletin. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame,
and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Our Holy Gospel reading is found written in the Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light that has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Christ is
grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Father's Son, Jesus Christ, in truth and love. Amen. The text this morning is both the Old Testament and the Gospel, as they are very connected. For just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world. And that's how I used to hear John 3:16, the beginning, in my head. I used to hear it like, oh, God loved the world so much. It's true. God did love the world so much that he gave his son. But that's not quite what it means. It wasn't until I read it in Greek that I knew what the English meant. I guess that means my English isn't as good as I thought. So is talking about the way that God loved the world. That was said earlier, is the way that God loves the world. So it points us back to the beginning of our text today. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So must Jesus be lifted up on the cross. That's the way that God loved the world. So since John's pointing all the way back to our Old Testament reading today, let's start there as well. So at this point, it's the book of Numbers. We're really wrapping up the journey of the Israelites from Egypt to the promised land in Israel. Moses has been leading them all this way. They've already reached the promised land once and been too scared of the people in it to enter. But they're heading back. They're almost there. They're in the home stretch. Might seem a little trite that we have again. And the Israelites grumbled and complained against God and Moses. And through this period, they do it over and over and over again. But it's almost even more ridiculous at this point. I mean, as they're heading back to the promised land, there's kings that are standing in their way that won't let them through their land, and God is leading them through. He's taking out nations, entire countries, so that they can get there. And now they're complaining about the food. God has been providing them with manna and quail for years and years and years, almost 40 years. Admittedly, that's a long time to eat anything for every single meal. But they're almost done. They call the food worthless. I mean, it still gets the job done. They're rejecting the gracious bread that God has given them. It's like they'd rather starve. So God sends fiery serpents in the camp. Now, fiery is probably referring to what it felt like after you were bitten, that you'd feel the fire, the venom, like fire running through your veins. So these were venomous snakes, venomous enough to kill the people. So, I mean, as they're actually dying, they're going to come back to God. They say, Moses, help us. Do something with us, with God, please. So Moses prays to God, and God tells Moses to make a fiery serpent, and put it on a pole, put it before the people. And all the people must do is look at it, and they'll live. Doesn't say it's removing the venom. It saves them from it. Gives them life. So he does, he makes it out of bronze, and they live. So God showed Israel what salvation would look like then, and it's a precursor to what we can see now. Jesus being lifted up on the cross. Now, this is an image that God uses to tell us and teach us about what Jesus has done. And when God chooses an image, he doesn't do it by accident. For example, we use water with baptism. God chose that. It's not a coincidence. Water is used to clean things, dishes, you know, take showers, baths, clean the driveway. And baptism cleans us from our sin, cleanses us, makes us pure. Water is necessary for life, for plants, for animals. Baptism gives us life. Being kept underwater kills us, drowns us, and baptism kills and drowns our old Adam, our old sinful nature. He didn't choose water just because, well, that works, I guess. He's teaching us something with us, something that you wouldn't be learning if we poured milk or sand in baptism. It wouldn't make any sense. So God is using this image that shows up in Israel's history to explain how Jesus must be lifted up. This is no accident, even using serpents, snakes. I mean, first time we see a snake is in the Garden of Eden when Satan is tempting Eve. And there he put his venom into the entire human race so that the venom would course through our veins until the last day. And just like the snakes caused the pain for the Israelites, they used the very same thing to save them. Our own humanity is fighting against us, is killing us. But God used a human, fully man, Jesus, the Word become flesh, to save us. And just like the Israelites need only look to the serpent on the pole, we need only look to Christ on the cross. That's why you see in this passage, if you see an illustration of the pole, it's going to be in the form of a cross that the serpent is on there. You know, maybe the top is missing, but that's also still a form of a cross, as the Romans might have used it. So that is the way which God loved the world. And God told people about it ahead of time in our Old Testament reading. And that way resulted in God giving us his only son. That was necessary to fulfill that love. That was necessary for the way that he declared beforehand, so that he might be lifted up and die, so that we might not perish. He loved us through the cross, by dying. He himself, on Maundy Thursday, preparing for his death, said that greater love has no one than this, that a man give his life for his friends. God showed us the greatest love there. And now we only look to him. And that's why we use so commonly that image of Jesus on the cross, why it's everywhere for the Christian faith. It is the core. I mean, we have it here. I would say just about, I mean, every Lutheran church pretty much has one. Sometimes we don't put the body on there, we just have the cross, but it means mostly the same thing. Honestly, church isn't really complete without the cross. So, I mean, it sounds pretty simple. We know John 3:16. It promises things. It's the verse everyone puts on signs at sports events. But you don't see everyone being convinced by that. There's reasons that people don't come to church. And even for a Christian, there can be struggles in trusting in that statement, in putting up with it. John kind of continues talking after John 3:16. There's more than that. And he explains why people find so many struggles, why people are kept from the church. He says, first of all, Jesus came to save the world, to save. That's the reason he was here. But condemnation, judgment still happens. That's still part of him coming. It's not the reason, but it's an effect. John says, the light came into the world. That light is Jesus. See, God can condemn the world from up in heaven just fine. He did it all over the Old Testament. He sent the flood. He just opened the windows from heaven and all the water poured out and sent his judgment upon the earth. He didn't have to come down to send fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah to wipe them off the map. He's deposed plenty of nations, for Israel especially, because of their sin. Because they stood in the way of his salvation for his people. But to save us, he does have to come down. I mean, to save Noah from the flood, he had to come down and speak to Noah, tell him, build the ark, the water is coming. To save Lot and his family from Sodom, when Sodom was destroyed, he spoke with Abraham, and Abraham pleaded for the city repeatedly. So, to explain this, that's the reason John uses light as the image for where this judgment and condemnation come from. See, Jesus, as I said, he's the light. I talked about this some back in Advent, if you remember. But the light makes everything visible. Yeah, you need it to see. And it gets rid of the darkness. Now that sounds pretty darn good. Kick out Satan, sin, death, the demonic horde, they're all gone in the light. There's a lot to like about the light. But there are reasons people are drawn to darkness as well. Like when there's something that they want to be a secret or hidden, that they don't want other people to know about, or even that they don't want to see in themselves. I mean, there's a reason for the saying, nothing good happens after midnight. So the people who do evil works, even if they regret them, that's not what they wanted to do, they tend to love hiding in the darkness. So God's judgment comes regardless. He knows what's in the darkness. He sees all things. They're already condemned. We're all already condemned for what we have done. But when the light came into the world, we could see each other's sins as well. And so those who commit evil deeds, they can see their own evil. They hate seeing their own evil. They know other people can see it. They feel guilt and shame. And Christians are no exception to that. And that guilt and shame, that desire to keep our own works hidden, keeps people out of the church. Even people who have grown up in the church, if they feel that condemnation over their salvation, they don't want to come back. So, and maybe even though you're here today, you feel this sometimes. Maybe years ago, maybe you know someone who's felt this way. Whatever it is, if it's someone else, if it's you, I say, the light is not here to condemn you. It came and it's here to save you. You are in the light. The light is here to save you. That is the place that you are supposed to be. Pain can come with it. Guilt, shame, emotional hurt. Struggle comes with that. But looking, staring at where that light comes from, the cross, that is your salvation. So maybe there's a wound you're covering from the light with your hand, or hiding behind your back. I say, let it be exposed. The light is here to save you from that wound, the wound that you are hiding. And when you see someone expose that wound, bear with them. Help them bandage it up. They're in the light because they are saved. Your judgment isn't going to do anything but cause pain. They have enough pain on their own. Now, it doesn't mean if they keep it in the darkness and you still catch a glimpse. You may need to point it out to them. But in the light, we're together. We work as the Christian church, as a brotherhood, brothers and sisters in Christ. So when you see the festering bite of Satan on another Christian, stand with them, so that finally we can all look together at Christ, hanging on the tree, the serpent from the pole, giving us life. And however beat up we know we look, however ugly you see, whatever ugly you see when you look at yourself in the light, it's where you belong. You belong in the light. Salvation is yours. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Please rise for singing the offertory.
Please be seated for the offering. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, in these Lenten days we pray that you would draw us into your light, expose where we, like your people of old, have thought, spoken, and acted against you, that in repentance we might look to your Son, lifted up on the cross for our salvation, and be saved from your righteous anger. O Lord, you led the saints by the straight way of faith in your Son until they reached your heavenly city. As we join in their eternal thanksgiving for your steadfast love and your wondrous works to the children of men, we pray that you would faithfully lead us to our heavenly home. O God, you love the world by giving your only Son, that whoever believes in him might be saved. We pray that you would bless the work of your church and those called to preach your gospel, including Matthew, our Senate President, Kevin, our District President, and all pastors of our beloved Senate. By your Spirit, O Lord, create and sustain saving faith within us and all who hear your word, that they may not be condemned, but saved, and raised up with Christ to be seated with him in the heavenly places. O God, you have made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We pray that your Spirit would be at work within us, that we may not carry out the sinful desires of our bodies and minds, but that we, O Lord, as your workmanship in Christ Jesus, would continue walking in the good works that you have prepared for us to do in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. O God, you are light and our salvation. Hide us in your shelter, and hide in your shelter, O Lord, those of whom which we now pray. Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, Leah Spangler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. O Lord, this day we also lift up before your heavenly throne. O Lord, we pray for the little child that was born to Tessa and to Cody. O Lord, Jackson Timothy, O Lord, is now in the NICU, in the intensive care unit. We pray, O Lord, that you will have mercy upon him and that you will bring him to full health so that, O Lord, he may be brought here to the cleansing waters of baptism. And in that baptism, O Lord, you will claim him as your dear children. We pray, Lord, that you will have mercy upon little Jackson. O Lord, we ask that you keep all for whom we pray from falling into faithless fear, and uphold them with your peace in Christ Jesus. O good Lord, whose steadfast love endures forever, we lift up our voices in thanksgiving that you have redeemed us out of trouble and gathered us here to feed our hungering and thirsting souls, that they may not be faint within us. Satisfy our longing with the blessed means of grace, that we may abide in your eternal peace now and forever. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, O Father, grant for the sake of your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, you switch chairs.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose such rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small.
Please be seated. I just have three things for you. All the other announcements are in the bulletin, and I'll let you read those for yourself. Please do keep Jackson Timothy Vogel in your prayers. Jackson is having trouble eating, and they want him to gain a certain amount of ounces before he can leave the NICU and then come home. But for those who wish to know, Jackson Timothy was born on Wednesday, and he was 6 pounds and 11 ounces, and he is 20 inches tall. And right now we are still scheduled, to have Jackson brought to the waters of holy baptism next week, and we will rejoice on that day, pending him being released from the NICU. Either it looks like maybe tomorrow or maybe Tuesday, but we ask that you keep that in your prayers. Also, dear friends, for those who are attending the midweek services at St. Thomas, we've been asked by the leadership at St. Thomas and the members of St. Thomas to please wear a mask. So when you come to worship service at St. Thomas, please wear a mask. And that is their request. And finally, I have a letter from myself to read to the congregation. Dear Saints of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen and victorious Savior. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, The Lord of the church issues calls. Our Lord Jesus blessed me in placing me here to serve you almost 13 years ago. And now he has sent me another call. This past Friday, March 12th in the afternoon, I received call documents from a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, Shepherd of the Springs Lutheran Church. Now it is my duty as a called and ordained servant to consider two calls, the call to serve you or the call to serve another congregation. As I now begin considering both calls, I will earnestly be praying, and I ask that you do the same for Young and myself. I will sincerely seek your advice and wisdom. Please know that this is not an announcement that I am leaving, just that I have received a call. So please don't be calling anyone and telling them, "Pastor is leaving." That is not true. I just ask for your advice and wisdom since I have been sent a second call. I will make a decision and announce that decision on Sunday morning, March 28th, here at the beginning of worship service. My dear brother and sister, I pledge myself to give the most serious consideration to both calls. Please remember me and Young in your prayers, and as you must know, that we will always and always continue to pray for the dear saints of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church. God be praised. Amen.